And now, live from the Rowe Auto Group Westbrook Auburn Studios, it's Ray Richardson on WLOB 100.5 FM.
Having conversations we can't have on air, at least, well, actually we could have them on air. Whether we will have them on air remains to be seen. I guess as time goes on, we'll see whether we do or not. Dove Sachs is in the house along with Dee Dee Richardson. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning.
Hey. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's good to see you in church Sunday.
Hey, it's always good to see you.
Yeah.
You're like the, you just look like $1 million and...
Wow.
Because folks aren't dressed up there necessarily.
Of course, $1 million isn't worth what it once was.
Yeah.
So,
what's that post-Biden, like $775 or something?
Yeah, probably. $750, I would say.
You look like $775,000.
Really? Wow. Well, I'll take that. Thank you.
Yeah, no, you just look great. It's great to see you.
Well,
You saw my little guy.
I did, absolutely.
Little mini-me, right?
Handsome fella. Oh. Handsome fella. A guy I met after I saw you, he said to me, so what do you do for a living? You're all dressed up. And I said, well, my father taught me that you go to church with a coat and tie on.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried once not to. I wore a sweater and a tie.
Mm.
And I sat there so self-conscious, I couldn't stand it. So I've never done it again. And it has nothing to do with anything. It's not a judgment against anybody else. I'm happy people are in church, but that's what my father taught me, and that's what I do.
It's interesting. I grew up in an Orthodox Jewish community, going to synagogue on Saturdays, and definitely was dressed like you are. And that went without saying. That wasn't like a question, and everyone was dressed up. So similar to you, it's a little unusual when I step in there and everyone's casually dressed, but I think there's a big pro side to that too. It's very accessible, and it's nice.
And I have as long as people have something on, because I clearly don't want to see them naked, I don't care. It's not a judgment or anything like that. It's just what I do because it's what I was raised to do. And my father was my hero, is my hero, even though he's not here on the earth with us anymore. And that's what he taught me to do, was to wear a coat and tie to church. And that's what I do.
Yeah, well, you look great doing it.
Many people walk in here and I introduce you and say, he's an attorney with Independence Law Maine. They're like, you're an attorney? Because you're very casual. You're a very casually dressed guy all the time, even in your profession, except when you go to court.
That's right.
Yeah.
And now court is so different now. A lot of the things before trial or Zoom, So there's a lot of above the waist attire,
Really?
With the sweats or the shorts for Zooms. Yeah, deposition.
Oh, in Zoom. Zooms. Okay. Yeah. That's different.
Yeah, I think everyone.
But if you're in court, you're in coat and tie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it's an interesting thing, the attire. We've talked about it. But it's interesting when I dress casually and take a deposition of a highfalutin, you know, expert of some kind, they're caught off guard for a little bit. And I think that can be helpful.
Well, you are a highfalutin expert of some kind.
I don't know about that. Good to see you, though.
Yeah, you as well. You as well. The chess game continues in Washington.
Well, wild.
Yeah, it is wild, no doubt.
It's hard to even pinpoint what the big news is on a particular day.
It really is, no doubt. Since you were last here, Joe Biden pardoned his son after swearing up and down, as did everyone in the Democratic Party of any name ID, that he would not pardon his son. Then he gives him the most sweeping pardon since Richard Nixon, or maybe even more sweeping than that. It may be the most sweeping pardon in American history.
Yeah, and it's funny because Trump would joke that, you know, Jimmy Carter's excited about the Biden presidency. But not, he would say that a lot, right? But it really feels like now Biden's going out in a blaze of fire in terms of burning down his legacy, whether it's trying to aggravate the war on his way out as a
That is the most perplexing. Look, I said this from the beginning. I mean, if I were president and that were my son, I wouldn't have pardoned him because a pardon basically exonerates what you did, and I don't believe that should happen. But I would have commuted his sentence. I would never allow my child to be in jail if I could stop it. I don't blame Joe Biden as a father for that. Many people have tried to say, oh, you guys are all worked up about the pardon. I'm not worked up about the pardon. What I am upset about is the lengths of which the dishonest side of the political spectrum, the Democrats, have gone to say Joe didn't lie about this. I played a clip of Peter Doocy asking Karine Jean-Pierre in the White House briefing about the pardon. And she said the answer is no today. It was no yesterday. It'll be no in the future. The answer is no. It's not going to happen. Joe Biden said, I'm not going to do it. What I never understood, I mean, I understand politically why he did it. What he was trying to do was to contrast Trump. Here's Trump. He's been convicted on 34 counts of whatever the hell it was Alvin Bragg did. But here we are. We are above the fray. And we respect the rule of law and we respect the system. And I'm not going to pardon my child. I know that's what he was doing. It was all a political farce. But, you know, because I said at the time, why didn't Joe just simply say, which would have been honest, I'm not sure what I'll do. Let's let this play out, see how it ends up, and we'll make a decision with the facts. But that wasn't they were playing politics. It's all they were doing.
You know, it's so fascinating. And one thing we don't know is exactly what was going on if you're not in the room of the few Bidens who probably made the call. But I'm quite confident that Hunter was pulling the strings in different ways to his own benefit, as he always does. And, you know, Biden all along joked about Hunter being the smartest man he ever met. And that just seems so ridiculous for a president who's probably met like countless Nobel laureates and to be saying that.
But it may be true.
It may be true.
Think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, he got to do all the drugs he wanted to do. He got to hang out with whores and pay prostitutes. He got to have sex with his brother's wife. He didn't file taxes nor pay them. All this stuff he did. And he bilked Burisma and had a pipeline of money coming from Moscow to Ukraine, coming into the family and making sure the big guy got his cut.
And then the thing that was crazy.
And there's no consequence to any of it.
But, you know, what distinguished it from like Roger Clinton or the other, you know, sibling or children that we've had around the White House in the past is that Hunter just moved right in. Like right at the peak of all of the salacious stuff. He was right next to his dad.
Absolutely. Sitting in cabinet meetings.
Just right there. And that's wild.
By the way, I can't remember who it was, but one of the prominent voices on the other side, and they had to retract it because, once again, they will say whatever they need to say because they assume you and I are too dumb to figure it out. But one of the things, what are you guys all upset about Joe Biden pardoning his son? George H.W. Bush did that with Neil in the savings and loan scandal, except that it never happened.
Interesting.
He never pardoned him. It never happened. They made it up. But they will just say anything because they really truly do believe, the other side, that the American people are fundamentally dumb and lack curiosity.
Huh. Was Neil the one who met with Hinckley before Reagan got shot?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Some funky stuff there.
But yeah, that was crazy stuff. But he was involved in the savings and loan scandal.
Yeah.
And so that was her thing. He was involved in that. And H.W. pardoned his son, Neil. Why aren't you guys worked up? Why weren't you worked up about that?
But it didn't happen.
Well, you can't be worked about you can't be worked up about an event that never occurred.
It's fast. You know, the type of pardon here is such a new level, the broad sweeping 10-year nature of it for things that haven't even been charged.
Brought up.
And for many of which are even beyond the statute of limitations because it went back to 2014.
Right.
Which really begs the question, why such a large...
Well, we know the answer. We've known the answer from day one.
What's the answer?
The answer is this basically exonerates him for all of the things that may come out when Kash Patel is the FBI director, Pam Bondi is the attorney general, and the House is really empowered to investigate and get to information, some of which has been suppressed here. Because ultimately, and I've said this from day one, and you know what? I wrote about this in a book with regard to the Russian collusion. And every single thing I wrote in the book and said on the station was proven to be true. And I've said this, and that was about Barack Obama and all those bums. This thing here with Ukraine and what happened, they talked about, you know, remember when, I know I'm bouncing here, but it's all tied together. It's
doing
all
the
a
weave.
Cabal.
You're doing the weave.
It's all a cabal. You remember Colonel Vindman, the
yep.
diplomat,
yep.
and how he was indignant during the hearings. There was no Ukrainian interference whatsoever in the election. This is a smokescreen by the
yep.
Trump people to obfuscate from what's going on with Russia.
Yep.
And I said at the time, that's not true. In August of 2016, the New York Times wrote an article about the fact that the Ukrainian government was trying to influence the American election. It made sense if you thought about it, because what happened, what precipitated all of that? Obama allowed Putin to annex Crimea. Hillary Clinton stood up against it hard and said that was wrong, can't be allowed to stand, and if I'm president, we will do something about it. Donald Trump said, well, that's their issue. So Ukraine would have had, in their mind, an ally in Hillary Clinton. So fast forward to 2018, December, a Ukrainian district court convicted two members of their government for seeking to influence the American election in 2016, and in doing so, created harmful relations with the United States government. But Colonel Vindman lied about it, and because he was a colonel, everyone just accepted him as an honorable man, which he's not.
Yeah, Ukraine's been at the center of world corruption for a very long time.
Well, they've long been the most corrupt country in the world. One of the things Zelensky ran on was, you know, a reform effort here. And then, of course, the war happened and what have you. And you can think whatever you want to think about all of that. But the point is, why did he do what he did? And I think Joe outsmarted himself, if you want to know the truth. I think he outkicked his coverage, so to speak, by giving Hunter such an extensive pardon. He now cannot take the fifth because there's no possibility of incriminating himself if they choose to go after this. Yeah. I don't know whether they're going to go after it or not. There is a big part of me that hopes they don't. Let's just move forward and focus on the future.
Yep.
But they may.
I think transparency and bringing these things to light is always important, especially when it's extreme corruption coming from the top of your government and after they claim that they were squeaky clean. Because remember, Biden was in charge of Ukraine policy.
Right.
So this is so different than anything else because it's so much more specific.
Isn't it funny you said what you just said? Because yeah. Barack Obama put Joe Biden in charge of two countries. Do you know what they were?
Yep, Ukraine and
China.
How about that?
And guess where money flowed? That is documentable. $20 million.
24, yep.
Where are the two places that it flowed from? Ukraine and China.
Don't forget Russia.
Well, I know about that, but he was in charge. Obama put Biden in charge
of
those two countries. That was supposedly his area of expertise because of his time on the Foreign Relations Committee.
The Hunter story, you know, usually the way this corruption works is like it's someone in office. They have someone in their family who's pretty successful already, has an expertise already, and then they like boost that person into a position that's in their field of expertise. Like if they're in oil, they'll be the Department of Energy or something like that. So it's all like plausible deniability in it, and it makes some sense. Hunter is a crack addict. Hunter is filming himself doing 160 in his porch while smoking crack. Right, I've seen that video that was on the laptop.
Right, sure.
Hunter is one of the most out of control people on the planet. While his dad is vice president and in charge of Ukraine policy and China policy, as you said, he's having him travel on Air Force Two. He's going with them on trips to those countries, and then he's disappearing without security, without Secret Service detail during the trips. And I mean, he doesn't speak the languages.
No.
He doesn't have expertise in the field.
Well, think about being on the board of directors for Burisma Oil and Gas. Hunter had no education, no experience, and no expertise in that realm, and yet they paid him, what was it, $80,000 a month to sit on the board? What was the purpose? You know the purpose. $80,000 was buying access. So and hopefully, frankly, buying protection. Keep in mind, the prosecutor in Ukraine was investigating Burisma, and Joe Biden shut him down. You will not get this $1 billion loan guarantee if he's not fired within the 6 hours. When wheels are up, if it's not done, you don't get the money.
Did you see there was a, I don't know if the guy's a billionaire or just super rich or whatever, but it was news this week that Biden stiffed him on $300,000 rent in his house. I think it was in California.
And he kept the Secret Service, kept the landlord at bay.
He said that, see, he had the Secret Service change the locks and then keep the owner off the property and stiffed him for $300,000 and still hasn't paid. That was, I believe, the story. And we're just dealing with it's so corrupt that it's almost unbelievable.
So yesterday on The View, I don't watch the show, but I do watch the clips because, you know, for whatever reasons, those cackling hens have been elevated to a level well beyond their intelligence and, frankly, their importance. But they are influential with a segment of this nation. Whoopi Goldberg said yesterday to Charlemagne the God, who was on the show, and he was arguing that Joe lied, and she said, I'm going to stop you right there.
Can we just talk about the dude's name for a second?
Charlemagne the God?
Did he change his legal name to...
That's his moniker. That's his...
But what kind of sick person is doing
that's
that?
That's his...
Isn't that disqualifying?
What do they call that? It's his pseudonym? That's his pseudonym.
But of all the pseudonyms, he's choosing the God?
Well, and I think Charlemagne also, you think about the historical context of that
but,
as
but
well.
It's so funny to see other media in the last year treat that like it's normal, like they're just saying that.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, you know, that's like saying...
Kind of like Jelly Roll.
Well, at least that's kind of benign.
Jelly Roll's benign, but it'd be kind of like him saying, my name is Yahweh.
I mean, it's just disgusting.
My name is the Great I Am. Yeah, I mean, but that's how he's known in the public lexicon, so that's how I refer to him, because that's how people will recognize him.
What's his real name?
Let's look that up. His real name is very benign. I did look it up.
While you're laying it out.
But he was That's making the argument him. That what he's upset about is that Joe Biden lied, and Whoopi Goldberg stopped him and said, wait a minute, you don't know if he lied or not. And he said, well, he said he wasn't going to do it, and he did. That sounds like a lie to me. And she's like, no, you know what I think happened? I'm going to tell you what I think happened. And this is almost a direct quote. She said, I think Joe just got tired of always being the good guy, always doing the right thing, always doing what's expected of him, which is to do the right thing. And I think he just got tired of all these other people getting away with all this stuff. And he just said, you know what? To heck with it. I'm going to pardon my son. I'm going to create. That's what she said.
Yeah. I mean,
which is nonsense. Joe Biden doesn't do the right thing. Then she went on to say the Democratic Party is known for always doing the right thing. And I'm like, what crack are you on, honey?
Yeah,
that was my thought. What crack are you smoking?
What I was getting at earlier when I was referencing going back to 2014 is I think the explanation is that it covers the entire family's
Absolutely,
activities.
Of course.
Now, you mentioned the thing about the Fifth Amendment, which is going to have to be litigated. That's probably a very interesting legal issue of whether...
Except that what does the Fifth Amendment do? It allows you not to incriminate yourself and therefore put yourself in jeopardy. He's no longer in any jeopardy whatsoever because all of that has been wiped away.
Well,
the president has the right...
It's a federal pardon, so there's a question about potential state charges that might still enable the Fifth Amendment, or at least the state... respective state analogs in the state,
but in a federal court, that wouldn't be the case.
In federal court,
right?
But then it gets to the question of what does it mean to incriminate yourself? Is it strictly about not being able to be charged because you've had a pardon, or is it a broader meaning?
I think it's a more narrow meaning. I mean, I'm not a lawyer like you are, but I have studied this all of my life, and I've always thought the Fifth Amendment was fascinating. I think it is placing yourself in jeopardy under the law.
Yeah, I think that I think it's probably a complex issue that'll play out. But the way that the Biden, and I was listening to Alina Haba, one of Trump's lawyers last night, saying she expects Biden to issue a lot more pardons.
Preemptive pardons.
Preemptive or...
Think about who they are. Adam Schiff. We all know about his behavior when he was head of the House committee. I can't remember if it was the Judiciary or what the committee was, but his behavior was abhorrent and deceitful, and some of it was outright deceitful. But we also know that he has broad ties to Ukraine. It's been well documented over time. Adam Schiff has broad ties to Ukraine. There's just no doubt that that's true. And isn't it interesting that how all of this democratic corruption goes back to the country of Ukraine? Many people believe, I'm one of them, in fact, I've stated it publicly, that I believe that Joe Biden has been so vigorous in his support of Ukraine financially with American tax dollars and money we borrow because Zelensky is in possession of all the things Poroshenko had, and this keeps a lid on the goods.
Well, that's just the currency that a lot of powerful networks operate in.
Right.
But with Hunter running around, there's no doubt a lot of footage, and it could probably explain why gazillions of dollars have just flowed to Ukraine endlessly over the last couple of years. It's not unrelated.
Well, and again, let's go back to just the basic point. Why was Hunter Biden on the board of directors for Burisma Oil and Gas? No education, no experience, no expertise. What did he bring to that table?
I mean, it's, you know, we can piece it together.
Well, it's not hard.
Right.
It's, Daddy.
Well, we saw it with that amazing text that he sent to the, like, former head of the Chinese spy.
Right.
You know, that was like,
I'm sitting here with the
big
guy.
You can't do it justice. Right. I mean, you have to read it, but it's, yeah, I'm sitting next to the big guy.
But it is, I'm sitting here next to the big guy. I mean,
what it showed was that this is a ruthless actor who has no fear
whatsoever
of flexing the full force of the United States in his own self-interest against any foe. And that's a dude with his proclivities. Like I've said, he's probably been hung over balconies before. I mean, he's been right probably on the precipice of, and just keeps pulling through. But I suspect there will be more, and that the Bidens will have to answer some difficult questions as the years pass, as maybe months.
Yeah.
Maybe months. Because what we haven't experienced yet.
You know, but here's what we don't know.
Yeah.
In 2016... Trump was hard on Hillary. In the debate, he famously said, if I was president, you would be in jail. But when he became president, he never did any of these things. This is what I try to get people to understand. I have long taken Trump seriously. I don't take him literally. In fact, I've brought this up many times as an example. When he talked about building the wall, I took that as a metaphor for border security. He literally meant, in that case, he literally meant building a wall. But what I took it as in 16 is that he was going to secure that border, and a wall was something he felt the public could understand. And ultimately, he meant it. But there are many things that he says, and that he says from a negotiating standpoint. I mean, a lot of the tariff talk right now, I believe, are negotiating tactics. You saw Justin Trudeau, as an example, fly down and kiss the ring. And you saw the reaction of the Mexican president and... Now what's happening there? Suddenly, they're arresting people. They're confiscating fentanyl in Mexico.
Biggest drug sting in Mexican history.
And biggest drug sting in Mexican history.
And then Trudeau, the best part about Trudeau is the story from folks at the table who said Trudeau told them the tariffs are going to kill our economy. And Trump said, well, if your economy requires a $100 billion debt to the United States, maybe you should become the... Maybe Canada should become the 51st state, and you could
be
become
the
governor.
Right.
And then Trudeau. And so
then it's Trump.
And because what makes it so awesome is that it's half a joke, but truth in the joke. And Trudeau just had to laugh. And
yeah, exactly. And but then it's Trump and because he set the stage. We got to run. We'll be right back.
Great.
It is 8:29.
Great.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
ABC Maine, member-driven and member-strong. You build communities and shape our industry. We make sure your voice is heard. For more information, email hope@abcmaine.org or go to their website, abcmaine.org. At Community Pharmacy, we can provide all your durable medical equipment needs. We can also provide all your incontinence needs as well as your hospice care needs discreetly and delivered right to your door. Go to communityrx.com to find out more.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The outgoing Biden administration is renewing a push for airline consumer protections, saying it'll take steps toward requiring airlines to pay cash compensation and cover lodging and meals for passengers who are stranded when an airline causes flights to be canceled or changed. The rule would go far beyond the current requirements for airlines to pay ticket refunds and would make U.S. policy more closely in line with consumer protections in Europe. Industry trade group Airlines for America